This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Brought to you on the fan by Laurelhurst Market. More than just your family neighborhood steakhouse. Now, with award-winning PGA professional Harold Bluestein, here's your host, Jason Swigard.
Well, a fine good morning to you all. Apologies for my pipes. They are evading me here. I got to find a way to get them back before the Pilots take on San Diego tonight over on 910. So bear with me for the next hour. But I'm in San Diego. Harold's back in the studio. How you doing, Harold?
I'm doing great. Once again, missing your smiling face across the desk here.
Oh, you're so kind. Yeah. You're so kind.
Well, it's because you're ill. You don't really want to
make
fun of someone.
Yeah, you love seeing me suffer, don't you?
Well, whenever you're sicker than I am, I feel better.
This doesn't happen all that much, so I don't know where it came from. Feel much better than I sound, so plenty of energy. So we'll get through the next hour together. We got plenty of help, though, coming up. Our old buddy Garrett Johnston, golf writer extraordinaire, is going to join us. He grew up in Sacramento, and the first big golf event he got to cover was the Pro-Am. At Pebble Beach. He's been writing stories on it, some great stories around a lot of the interactions between celebrities, caddies, and the pros. So we'll talk to him about that as well as its relevance still on the tour. There are some that are saying that style of event has run its course, and we'd just rather see the best field possible on one of the greatest golf courses in the world.
Yeah, it's a shame because this has an incredible history. 1947, I guess it started with Bing Crosby, Clambake. Things change, and we're not sure that people are still interested in watching poor players play poorly and six-hour rounds on TV. It can be tough.
Also going to join us in our golf tips. Garrett will join us at 8:15 at 8:30 and Ask the Pros. Michael Neff is with Gears Golf, and they are one of the preeminent companies in tracking your swing and being able to analyze it seven ways from Sunday, detect where you're losing speed, whether you're out of alignment, all of those sorts of things. So I'm anxious to talk to him. It's fascinating technology that the pros are using now, and it's starting to work its way down to the club level, and we'll see what they've got cooked up and how it can benefit not just the professional but the avid player as well.
Well, technology is really, we talk about power and distance in golf, and technology has increased the distance that players are hitting the ball. So for, you know, you get 4 yards for every 1 mile per hour, and so players are trying to increase their club head speed, consequently their ball speed, and getting those 320-yard drives.
That and then the business of golf. We'll talk a little bit more about the AT&T Pebble Beach. Phil Mickelson, the defending champion, defying his age. He's up near the leaderboard. Also, just some of the unique tournament setups. We've got another one down in Victoria, Australia, we'll get to in a moment as well. So we'll discuss a little bit about maybe what fans would like to see that they're not seeing on the PGA Tour or other professional tours. But as always, we start by going inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards, the latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
Three tours we are keeping an eye on today. We'll start with the Korn Ferry Tour. They are in Colombia. for the Country Club, the Bogota Championship. And a name we haven't heard from a while, Camilo Villegas, is tied for the lead after two rounds playing in his native Colombia. He's been out since 2018. He had shoulder surgery. He's trying to come back with a medical exemption and work his way back to the PGA Tour. But for him, the first ever PGA Tour-sanctioned event in his home country, got to be a big thrill. You know how much he'd like to win this.
No kidding. And 38 years old, you know, you think of Camilo Villegas is just coming out as a player. I can remember when he was new on the tour and he'd squat down or lay down on the green to read a putt, and it was pretty exciting stuff. But
Spider-Man pose that he would get down there.
Exactly. I tried it once, and it took 20 minutes to get back up. But he's quite an athlete. It's a shame that injury has caught up with him, but it's exciting to see him back. And I think he could, if he can stay healthy, he can find his way back onto the tour.
Yeah, he's tied with the youngster, a Korn Ferry Tour rookie, John Vanderlaan. And he had conditional status previously, couldn't ever get fixed on there, went to the qualifying school this past December, earned his tour card, and he's been playing well for top 25s and is looking to, at just 23 years old, try and get to the PGA Tour before he's 25.
Yeah, he's played in a lot of Monday qualifiers trying to get into the tournament itself, and here he is in finally and up near the top. So good luck to him.
Well, yeah, and being paired with Villegas is going to be a big lesson for him as a guy who's won four times on the PGA Tour, understanding what you're up against. If he can perform well there, obviously the crowd is going to be very much with Villegas, so it'll be an interesting experience for him. The LPGA is down in Australia. They'll be there for a couple of events. This one is the HSPS Handa Vic Open. They're playing the 13th Beach Golf Links courses in Victoria. There's two courses that they are playing, and this event is being played simultaneously, intertwined with a European Tour and an Australian Tour event. Women's group followed by a men's group. They're not competing together, but they're having their own tournament simultaneously. Ayeon Cho of Korea is in the lead at 12 under after three rounds, and then Madeline Sagstrom at 11 under par, coming off her first LPGA Tour victory last week at the Boca Rio event, her first win. And many thought her first win would come a few years ago. She was a hot rookie coming from LSU after playing in Sweden. 2017 Solheim Cup captain's pick, and they're just waiting for her to finally break through, and they think she's going to win a whole bunch of tournaments.
Yeah, actually, a great player. I was watching yesterday. Hits the ball solid. Hits a lot of greens. I really like this format. If we're talking about how we can grow the game of golf, this format is a winner. Up one side, down the other, it is fantastic to have the men and the women sharing the golf course at the same time. We've had tournaments in the past where they would share the golf course, but the men 1 week and the women following week. Now we've got them playing simultaneously, and I think as far as, again, growing the game, this is one way to do it.
No question. You'd love to see an event. You'd have to go somewhere that has multiple courses that are championship worthy, so you could do the rotation. Pebble, Monterey down there, you could do it. Pinehurst, you could do it. Boy, if you had a regular event at the Pinehurst facility that, had the LPGA and the PGA intertwined, they're playing, the same courses intertwined with groups, that would be a lot of fun to see. And you can get out there and see how they stack up, next to one another. Be fantastic.
Yeah, it would be absolutely fantastic. The I was reading an article. What's his name? One of the tour players was saying we learn a lot by watching how the women play. They're hitting hybrids into greens from 170, 180. And hitting him 10 feet, and that's a very different game than the way we play. And yet it takes so much, it's so much more difficult to control a hybrid into a green than it is a six iron. So it was Ogilvy. He was saying, he loves watching how the women play because they hit it straighter, they hit more greens. They're not out there to try and overpower the golf course. They're playing the game. And to see that kind of play against the power play of the men on the same day, alternating groups, I think it would be a lot of fun to watch.
So we'll see if the PGA Tour picks up any tips from that event. Of course, the big tour is at Pebble Beach this week for the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am. Nick Taylor is your leader at 14 under par. They're just getting ready to tee off. It's a three-course rotation, so the cut won't be until after today. Top 60 in ties. Jason Day is at 12 under. Phil Mickelson is at 11 under. The rookie Chris Baker is at 10 under par, along with Charles Schwartzel. Dustin Johnson at 9 under. Patrick Cantlay is at 8 under. So we talk about, you know, there's not the top players. All the top players aren't there, but there's certainly some star power and some new names to come about. So it's not like it's nobody's there. Certainly some players you're familiar with. But it sure would be fun to see Jason Day and Phil Mickelson in that last group on Sunday at Pebble.
Yeah, it certainly would. Particularly, I'm a Jason Day fan. Based on what he experienced as a kid growing up and how he was helped along by Ernie Els, I think it's a good story to see Jason Day come back from a lot of back injuries and such. We could talk a little bit about his therapy. He's doing balloon therapy, which means that he spends, instead of lifting weights to build up his core, he is actually blowing up balloons. And he said he's getting pretty good at making farm animals and swords and things like that. Yeah, but it's an unusual approach to his building up his upper core, his thoracic region. And we can talk about why that's important in a golf swing at some later date.
No question. We will definitely get into that as well. Some local players, a lot of the local, you know, Northwest players in this event. As we scroll down the leaderboard, you have Aaron Wise, the former Duck. I believe he Wyndham Clark is at 4 under. Aaron Wise is in the group as well. Scott Harrington is at 3 under. I think Wise was at 5 under. So a lot of local players, they're very familiar with that Poana Green. So if they can get on a hot streak at some point, play their way into Sunday, that'll be big for all of them. Trying to get the season off to a good start, and it's nice to see a lot of local Northwest guys regularly playing on the PGA Tour again.
Yeah, Wyndham Clark had a good week last week.
Yes, he did.
He struggled a little bit at the end, but what a great experience to be there in the final group, was it, or was it the second last group?
I think it was the second to last group. He made his big move in round two and then didn't follow it up in round three, so... was there towards the end. I think he had a top 10 finish as we're checking that.
That's a big learning experience for him to be out there in that situation. I think it will bode well for him the rest of the season.
No question. And you talk about last week, too, at the Phoenix in that environment. Tony Finau, once again, putting himself in position, but just he can't close it. And Webb Simpson got him at the end. For Finau, some are wondering, again, when all his game, all that length, the touch he has around the greens, why it's not equating to more victories.
Well, in his touch around the greens is only average. He struggles with putting, as you could see in the last two holes. He had opportunities to make birdies, and then in the playoff, he missed another birdie attempt where Webb Simpson made it. So this was a classic situation or scenario where you had a guy who doesn't hit it very long against a guy who does bomb it. And the guy, Webb Simpson, is not necessarily short off the tee. He's worked to gain distance, but he's certainly not at the top. I think he's ranked this last week 44th in the field for distance, but 44th was pretty good. The key is he was ranked third in fairways hit and fourth in greens in regulation. So it comes down to the fact, and he was making putts. So having an all-around game will win you a lot of tournaments. I think, what was this, his sixth win? Tony Finau is looking for his second.
Yep, no question. So that's what's going on around the tours. We're going to continue our discussion of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Our good buddy Garrett Johnston, who's covered that event for years, going to join us, share some of his favorite stories, and make the case that this particular event with the celebrities is still relevant and important to the PGA Tour as we continue on. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan. Welcome back in Golf in the Northwest. Jason Swigart, Harold Bluestein here with you, and we want to continue on our conversation regarding the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am going on, and I wanted to bring in an old friend of the show. He's covered this event so many times, we've lost count, but our good buddy Garrett Johnston, golf writer extraordinaire, and now getting set to work the XFL, part of the production group. He's back in D.C. now, but this event holds a special place in his heart. Good morning, Garrett. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning.
And I wanted to go back. I saw your article that posted earlier this week on, let me get the website for everybody, the Caddy Network, talking about how much the players that do play in this event really appreciate it and embrace it, the caddies, the celebrities. It's a unique event on the PGA Tour, and you've got people from all walks of life, different celebrities, different sorts of athletes all coming together. But I think you have to be there to fully understand it, and you've had the privilege of doing that. What are some of your favorite stories of some of the stuff that's gone on over the years?
Yeah, well, I think with golf, and you kind of hear it with Jim Nance when he calls this event. It's obviously special to him. But whether it's Nance calling the action or whether it's the celebrities, the players, there is so much wrapped up in this week. And to me, it represents one of my favorite parts about golf, and that's the shared passion for golf. And when I say that, I'm talking about, you know, former stories from past years. Think about, I remember Kenny G was on the range in 2016, and this was at dusk. He was the only guy there. And I'm thinking, I went to him, asked him for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. We talked about, you know, golf and how much he loves it, but like it makes sense to him to spend the rest of the evening working on the range. He had missed the cut that year, and he was just trying to find it in the dirt. And there's so many other stories of that. Even Jake Owen, who had played a match, of course, he always teams up with Jordan Spieth in this event, guys. And Jake Owen in 2016 on the Tuesday played exclusive Cypress Country Club with Jordan. They played a match against each other. Jake beat Jordan and went straight to the range and worked on his game. And I remember seeing him on the range there in 2016, and he was glowing. He was, you know, bragging to anybody that would listen. Hey, I just beat Jordan, guys. It was a great match, and here I am, you know, working it out on the range. So it's amazing. I say shared passion. Like, these guys, these celebrities are so into it. I remember that same year, Larry Fitzgerald was on the range at Monterey Peninsula Country Club on a Friday. He was playing with Kevin Streelman, and he had never played Pebble Beach in his life to that point. I remember I asked him about that, and he was nervous. He was trying to work it out, get his swing figured out on that range there, and he was about to tee off what it would have been 14 hours later at Pebble for the first time. I think a lot of us could relate to that, just the anticipation. You know, we're so... We love the game, and I think this week we see that with the celebrities. I think it makes them more relatable to us.
And they are really outside of their comfort zone when they're on the golf course with the professionals, aren't they?
A little bit, yeah. I had talked to Aaron Rodgers in the past, and he had said, man, I'm just trying to get out of their way. This is what they do for a living. I love being out here, but I don't want to accidentally step in somebody's line. I don't want to accidentally throw somebody's timing off and cause them to miss the cut. I mean, he's very aware of that, which I think is great. You know, that shows a cool side of Aaron, that he's, you know, I guess humble in that sense. The other cool thing with Rodgers is that he's just so into this event. Like, I remember last year, remember he was paired with Ho-Sung Choi, the animated swinger oh, yeah. of the golf club, but with all those crazy reactions on Twitter, all viral reactions. Anyway, they were paired in the same grouping. I should say Aaron was playing with his buddy Jerry Kelly, and Hosung is in the grouping, and it was great. Like they had a chance. They met on the tee box Thursday morning, Monterey Peninsula Country Club, and 20 hours later, Aaron had invited Hosung to come to his rental home where Jerry Kelly and his wife and Jerry Kelly's caddy and his wife and everybody normally stays. It's like the Pebble Beach family for Rogers / Kelly's group. And they invited Hosung, his entire family, his kids went out there. They had a campfire in the backyard. The kids sang in Korean, some native Korean songs. In return, Aaron Rodgers played guitar and had his, you know, Jerry Kelly and his other buddies kind of singing some songs. They sang some Darius Rucker cover songs. Of course, Darius being a big part of that Pebble Beach event, too. So it just shows you, like, wow, like, this is a game. And these are people from different continents, different worlds, like you said, different walks of life. And it's so cool to see them come together and for Aaron and Jerry to be like, yeah, let's have Hosung over. We just met him. We'd only play one round with him. Let's make him feel welcome. That was one thing that Aaron said last year. He said it was such a blast, and he loved hosting, and it made sense to him. Like, there was no question. Why would it be too soon to invite Hosung over? So it's great to hear about that camaraderie.
Talking here with Garrett Johnston, a golf writer. The story he's talking about is on the Caddy Network. You can follow him on Twitter, at Johnston Garrett. And he's been posting as well throughout this year's tournament. But I guess, you know, there are some that would say, well, that's cool for all the celebrities that get to go, and if you have the means to maybe go attend the tournament. But there's others that are saying there's only 12 of the top 50 players playing this week. Tiger Woods has pretty much avoided it since he has been able to choose his own schedule. Some other big guys don't like how long it takes to play the round, and some say Pebble Beach deserves a deeper field if it's going to have a regular PGA Tour stop. To those critics, why is this particular event in this particular format still relevant, and how does it relate to the people watching on TV?
Yeah, well, I think it's relevant because it's the tradition of it, right? It's a Bing Crosby clam bake originally. He had started it there. And he had gotten his actor friends together. And so I think the tour loves the tradition events. You know what I mean? Riviera next week, there's so much with that, with Bay Hill being part of, you know, hosted by Arnold Palmer. Like, it's hard to fight against the tradition point. And then I think the other thing, yes, the six-hour rounds are tough. I mean, to be honest with you, I talked to Patrick Reed on Sunday night last year, and he was a little frustrated with how long the rounds were, and no surprise, he's not back this year. And even for him, he's a guy that his first top 10 ever on the PGA Tour was at Pebble in 2013. And it's a big, you know, he played video games growing up at Pebble Beach, you know what I mean, on Tiger Woods. So it's tough when you lose a Reed or when you lose some of the top 20 player. As you mentioned, there's not a lot of strength of field, and beyond tradition, it's tough because these guys have. Okay, next week, for example, 9 of the top 10 in the world are there. Everybody loves Riviera; it's one of the best venues out there. So this schedule, especially when they've gotten so condensed because of the majors changing, the PGA going to May last year, it just makes it so tricky. I mean, so many players play Phoenix the week before. And then, of course, Torrey, you know, so many top players are getting to Torrey as well. So where, you know, there are going to be some tournaments that just don't get prioritized beyond the big three of Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, and Jason Day, who we tend to see out here every year.
The what I'm looking at now in the leaderboard is Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson are up near the lead. That's some star power that they can fall back on.
Yeah, it does help, and I think I made the point last night on Twitter that we always talk about Phil, right? And we know that even a self-admitted, since he won this event last year, he's been struggling, but it's pretty common thought that he's going to compete at Augusta into his 50s, right? Like, he just, that course sets up, and he's smart, and he can plot around there. What about Pebble Beach in this event? I mean, it's possible that he could be relevant in this event. Who knows? I don't want to get greedy here, but could he be at this event at age 60, 61 on a Saturday hosted stance? I mean, he has that kind of game. He loves these greens. I know Jason Day was talking about the greens and how you just have to kind of take the good with the bad with the POA greens out there. But yeah, as you mentioned, star power, Dustin Johnson, it is helpful, extremely helpful to have him playing well and be a relevant force. Because what happens this week is there's so much focus on Saturday, right, the broadcast, and we see all the big names, Ray Romano, all the quarterbacks, all the actors on Saturday. But then once that ends, you know, you better believe CBS and Golf Channel want to have some big names for us to follow Sunday. And that can be the challenge. But yeah, Dustin rounding in the form is a big deal. And of course him playing with Gretzky, I mean, gosh, what a fun pairing that is. And I actually talked to Dustin's brother this week and I asked him about Gretzky. I said, hey, I mean, is Wayne really intense, really into this? He said, yes, he doesn't want to lose. But he's at the point where you know what, he's just having fun. He's happy to be here. And that contrasts greatly with Jake Owen, who's also paired with them in their group with Jordan Spieth. Jake, he said that is always asking questions of Dustin, always trying to get better, trying to ask Jordan, what do I got to do here? What do I got to do there? And I think that's a great dynamic during a competitive event. What other tour event do we see that?
Yeah.
Where one of the greatest musicians alive right now is so into his round that he's asking Dustin, one of the guys in the hunt, oh my gosh, what do I do here on 17? Like there's so much focus and so much, as I said, shared passion between the two of them. So
it's always a fun event. I know you're busy getting ready for production of your XFL game today, but who do you like to be winning there on 18 on Pebble on Sunday?
Yeah, it's tough to pick a lesser known guy like a Nick Taylor. So I have to go with Jason Day. I know he's got like five top fives there, and he loves the place. He loves all three courses, kind of embraces all three of them. And he's off the radar this week because he's on a different rotation. He's not playing Pebble today. He started at Pebble, or he was at Pebble yesterday. So he's kind of going to be able to make some noise, today without too many people seeing. So, yeah, I just feel like he's due.
There you go, Garrett Johnston. You can follow him on Twitter, at Johnston Garrett. Thanks so much for taking some time for us today. We'll follow your tweets, and good luck with the XFL.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good Saturday.
There you go. You have a good Saturday as well. We'll come back. We're going to talk to Michael Neff of Gears Golf with some pretty spectacular technology to help analyze your golf swing in our Ask the Pro segment. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Tips for your game from award-winning PGA instructor Harold Bluestein. It's time to Ask the Pro on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market.
8:32 here this morning, Golf in the Northwest. Jason Swigart, Harold Bluestein with you. And thanks again to Garrett Johnston for joining us. He's been covering that AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am for years now. But we have another guest joining us here, another PGA of America professional since 1991. He's the author of the book Drive Like the Pros and currently the director of Gears Golf and Sport Development. Michael Neff is joining us this morning. Michael, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes and give everybody just an idea of what Gears Golf is all about and the technology that is being used behind it that so has intrigued you to come up with a new way to analyze the golf swing.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Harold, you're a great dude, and I'm really proud to be your friend and be a part of this. And I'm a little peeved this morning off the Blazers call, but, last night, come on. I mean, how bad did Damian get totally hosed last? I mean, that was the worst call. I mean, how bad was that call? That was amazing.
It was egregious. It was egregious.
Egregious. But, I guess that's life. That's life as a Blazer fan.
Yeah, well, we've all missed a putt here and there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, thanks for having me on, guys. Gears is an optical motion capture system. It's kind of an Oregon homegrown product. We use high-speed optical motion capture cameras, and they're actually made right here in the great state of Oregon, down in Corvallis, at a state-of-the-art facility called OptiTrack, which is a the world's largest manufacturer of motion capture cameras. It's really an amazing company and product. But we use that optical motion capture technology for golf and baseball and other sports, kind of like how they make movies, how they make they put the markers on your body. We actually put markers on the club and your body, and that allows us to analyze your golf swing in 3D. And really helps us to understand really what's going on. So it's really a great product.
Well, it's a lot different than what we've seen other products. I mean, it's a step beyond video, just video, and it's also beyond TrackMan. What's the difference between what you're doing, Mike, and the and TrackMan?
Well, that's a great question. So TrackMan is a radar device, like a policeman basically has a TrackMan in his car, and it's designed to track the speed of objects. And TrackMan and FlightScope are the two largest companies that do radar tracking. So radar is how they project missiles. If you want to, they started out before TrackMan, there was FlightScope. TrackMan's done a much better job of marketing. But they basically track missiles, and they try to figure out how to do it for golf now, and they've done a really good job. It's an amazing product. But that's more of a ball technology. It gives you some club data. It's limited in some fashions, but the ball data is really what TrackMan does really well. And what Gears does is we measure the body and the club really well. TrackMan uses a product like ours to validate what they're doing with their club data. So most of our owners actually use TrackMan and Gears at the same time so that you can see the ball and the club and the body. That's hopefully answered your question.
Oh, it certainly does. And I think it's important to track what the body's doing because, after all, it's what's in charge of what the club is doing. So, Now, there are several aspects to tracking the body. It's not just the quality of the swing. And one thing I really like, and what you point out in a Golf Digest article, is the injury risk identification. And oftentimes I see instructors giving students swing advice without realizing that the student has some limitations physically. So you can actually identify what the weak points in their body are.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because it's body and club, you can very easily see, which, you know, it's expensive to track this. It's not easy to track it. We've made it pretty easy, but it's hard to diagnose that stuff without being able to see it through a true 3D rendering of it. Mm-hmm. And we just captured Brooks Koepka at Nike. Nike has a system on campus in their turf lab, and that was like the best day of my life. hanging out with Brooks Koepka. There's a commercial they're shooting, and you'll see it at the Masters, and our product's going to be on there. And it's really cool how we were able to see that. I'm not surprised he's going to have injuries and has injuries and the way he swings the golf club. I don't think a good example, like I don't think Bryson DeChambeau is probably ever going to get injured, or Tony Finau. I don't think he's ever going to get injured the way that he swings the golf club. I can definitely see Brooks getting injured the way he swings it.
Michael
Neff does give us like a good idea on how to look at those things. Yeah.
Michael Neff is our guest, director of Gears Golf and Sport Development. So the optical motion. So we know you're working with some of the top pros. Nice to see Chris Baker, the rookie, up on top of the leaderboard this week for you. How about that?
Swagger. Yeah. I love it.
And so I guess the question is for maybe the average avid golfer, the handicap player that plays quite frequently, is this something that can be effective for them? And what sort of costs are we looking at to go get the analysis done?
Great question. So yes, from a beginner to a tour player, the system does not discriminate. You know, it just shows you what you're doing, and there's analysis tools that allow you to see what you're doing and why you're doing it. And it's super easy to diagnose when you're in 3D because you can attach numbers and that's actually what's going on. So it's really hard to see some stuff that you can't see with the naked eye in a video camera. When you're taking a video lessons, that doesn't mean there's no need for video lessons. It's still 2D lessons are still valuable, but there's some stuff that you just can't see with the naked eye that we get to pick up in 3D, even with a beginning golfer. To answer your second question, Tom Sarah and Craig Griswold out at the reserve have a gear system. Brian Henniger at the golf farm is getting a gear system in about a month. I have a system at Pronghorn in Bend. It's a little bit of a long ways away, and I kind of do some trips back and forth out there, you know, when the spring hits. So that's kind of where you can go here in Oregon to get on gears, and it varies. I think the boys at the reserve are probably the lowest hanging fruit. Brian has kind of a subscription business out there at the Henniger Golf Farm, but the boys out at the reserve have one, and it's really good. And I think they charge anywhere from, I don't know, I think it's like a couple $100 or $150, something like that, for a full swing 3D analysis. And it's really, it's an awesome experience. I highly recommend you go check it out.
Well, Michael, you mentioned a couple of tour players that you've worked with. How does gears help a player at that level?
Okay, so we spent quite a bit of time with Tony Finau this year on gears. Mm-hmm. And that's, I'm just going to give you him as an example. There's quite a few, but it's we're starting to get a lot of tour players that are like requesting it, like where, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago, pros did not ever want to talk to TrackMan or see any of their data. It was just too much data. And now every tour player has a TrackMan. So as we start to break down the barriers of understanding, more and more good players are starting to realize that this will help them. But Tony Finau is a great example. When you guys know when he tore his ankle up at the Masters?
Yep.
They Nike made him this really cool shoe, and they came out with this kind of Air Max kind of retro shoe. It's super cool. And that Air Max is basically a running shoe that they kind of made a golf shoe out of. And it, you know, if you kind of look at the way that it's tilted toward the ball, the shoe has kind of this lifted heel. So the player is basically, it's like playing golf on high heels, basically. Mm-hmm. And to a tour player like that, that would move you toward the ball. And Tony Finau basically is a cut machine. He never misses cuts. He rarely wins. He's only won once, but he's a cut machine, man. He just and his coach Boyd is just an awesome coach. And he's like, dude, he's like, missed three cuts in a row. I just don't know what's going on. Can we check this out? See if there's anything we can find. Well, sure enough, we call this thrust, where you move toward the ball. Tony had some thrust, or this, he's moving towards the ball. And I said, you know, maybe we should like take a look at this golf shoe. And if you guys are noticed, he's wearing what's called the Janowski right now, which is a skateboarding shoe that Nike is using as a golf shoe. And if you were to wear it, it would feel almost like your feet are flat on the ground. And so we measured him before that or after that. So literally just a change in the shoe moved his thrust away from the ball, and his centeredness of contact was significantly better. So he was hitting everything in the heel and just kind of overcutting stuff. And he hits a cut on every shot, but he was like overcutting stuff and really missing fairways and greens, and it's not like him. And that was that's a great example of just a subtle detail that you're no way you would pick up with your naked eye. And he has yet to miss a cut since then. And he made the, you know, President's Cup. He's made almost one last week. It just broke my heart that he lost, but I mean, he's on fire. So that's a great example of even a tour player, you can see some subtle details. And to those guys, man, that like a half an inch of thrust, you know, that 5 millimeters towards the heel on the golf club, that can be the difference between making money and not.
So, Michael, go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, I have one real quick. Michael, you've designed a driver now. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, so this is really cool. So I see a demand. We work with a lot of Korean LPGA players, and Gears is very accurate on the delivery of the club to show you what's going on. And the average LPGA professional presents the club to the ball at about 14 degrees upright with a driver. And today's modern driver, the driver that they're playing is roughly 10 degrees more upright, or effectively 10 degrees more upright than what you and I grew up with, Harold.
Mm-hmm.
So the drivers are getting longer and more upright now, because that helps slicers. So the manufacturers are saying, okay, well, most of us slice it. These new drivers are going to help that. But there's a part of the golfing segment that has the opposite problem, where they're low handle players and they hit draws and they overdraw it and they struggle with that. So I built a driver that's 50 degree lie angle. It's called the FATX, Flat Ass Texas.
I could use that.
I got a bunch of, I built it. Nick Price was my inspiration behind it. We've got several tour players playing it. There'll probably be 8 players playing this on, I don't have to pay them either, which is awesome. And on the Korean tour. So we only made 50 of them, and we've given them all out just kind of as, it was more like a research project. And now it's turned out to be pretty hot. So we got to make some more. But so check that out. Flat as Texas.
Well, if you can give me
players with low handle that kind of struggle with hooking the ball too much.
Yeah, well, there's not a left side of a fairway that I haven't visited in the Pacific Northwest. So
dude, I owe you one. You will love this driver. I promise you, you'll love it.
Yeah, that's great.
There you go. Michael Neff, now club manufacturer to go with director of Gears Golf and Sport Development, author of the book Drive Like the Pros. And you can find him out there at Pronghorn. You can go to gearsgolf.com or michaelneffgolf.com. Learn more about Gears Golf and how to get yourself analyzed. We thank you so much for taking some time for us. We hope to catch up with you later on in the year.
Hey, thanks, guys. And go Blazers, huh?
Yep.
Let's make a stretch run here, right?
That's what they're trying to do. There you go. Michael Neff, our guest there. GearsGolf.com. It's pretty fascinating technology. Again, he said there's a setup out at the reserve, so you can give the reserve a call if you're interested in getting your swing analyzed and going through the process there. Actually, it's GearsSports.com/golf. Sorry, GearsSports.com/golf. We'll come back and wrap things up with Harold and I as we get ready for Center and Saint, and then plenty of hoops for you today on the Fan. It'll be Louisville and Virginia at 12:45, and then Civil War hoops tonight, Ducks and Beavers, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 postgame, or 7:30 tip right here on the Fan. We'll wrap things up, Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the Business of Golf, every week on Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back in 850, wrapping things up here with Harold Bluestein. Thanks again to Michael Neff for joining us. Sounds fascinating, and I'm anxious. We got to call the guys at the reserve, Harold, and see if we can get out. Have you been on it? Oh, we lost Harold. There we go.
Yeah.
That's my bad. I forgot to turn his mic on.
And he does that on purpose every now and then, I think.
It's not on purpose. It's just that you're the talent. I got to be sure to be on top of it.
Thank you very
much. Mr. Bluestein.
Yes, thank you very much. The technology can scare some people off, but quite frankly, I enjoy seeing things like that. If you don't let it work on your head too much, it can and just accept the fact that there's a process involved with, you take the technology, it doesn't happen overnight that you'd make a change, but there's a process in improving your game. Craig Griswold out at the Reserve's a good friend, and he'd love to have us out there to try it sometime.
Well, yeah, we'll definitely set that up and go through the process. One, a skilled player like yourself, me, your everyday, average bogey amateur, going through the process and understanding how you can utilize it. So we will definitely follow up with that. AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, It is a third round coverage today. Jason Day is now one shot off the lead. Nick Taylor with an early bogey. Phil Mickelson teeing off in about 10 minutes. He's playing Pebble along with Dustin Johnson, who's already one under. He's got it to 10 under. So the stars that are there are moving their way up the leaderboard. But we talked about this particular format maybe being a dinosaur now. Is it time for Pebble Beach to look at doing something different, something similar to what they're doing on the LPGA and the European Tour with the men and women playing simultaneously on the same courses this week down there? What would you like to see? Has the old Crosby Clambake worn out its time as a relevant PGA Tour event?
I'm not sure. It had a time and a place. I'm not sure it moves a needle now for the millennials. So many of the players who are playing are heroes from the past. They've got to get more relevant and younger entertainers if they're going to attract the millennials to the as viewers. I like different formats. I was really surprised and was not aware that they were having this tournament in Australia where they alternated men and women. And as I mentioned previously, I think it's a great format. And what it does is it's an inclusionary format. It brings awareness to the women's game. And at the same time, we have all watched the men's game for such a long time. And in comparison, the two are different, but they're fascinating in their differences. It's not saying that it's a poor quality of play. It's a different quality of play.
Yeah.
And that is really an entertaining aspect that I think that the tour should look into. Go ahead.
Well, I know, you know, the LPGA and the PGA are working more closely together than they ever have. At the top level in, you know, how they set things up and courses and those sorts of things. So maybe they can take a page if it goes well, if the LPGA Tour enjoyed that experience down there. Like I said, especially in that fall tour or when they start, boy, you sure could see something where they could piece things together in that fashion. I think it'd be a fantastic event. Who do you like this weekend at the AT&T?
Well, it's interesting. I'd like to see Jason Day come back and win. It would be interesting to watch Phil Mickelson win his sixth, which would be a record, beating he's right now tied with Mark O'Meara at five, but it would like to see him win for the sixth time at this tournament. Dustin Johnson's always fun to watch, but I really have a personal favorite in Jason Day. I'd like to bring something up about Phil Mickelson. He has said that he's not won a U.S. Open. We're all pretty aware of how many, you know, six second places.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to see him win one, but he was asked whether he would accept an exemption to get into this year's U.S. Open. And in Phil-like fashion, he said, absolutely not. I want to earn my way there. And I don't blame him. And him winning this week would certainly bring his world ranking up. Where is he? At 72nd in world ranking.
Yeah.
So he needs to get up into the top 50. So it would be nice to see him do that. He doesn't want the sympathy. He doesn't want the old person sympathy of getting in. He wants to
loves,
go out and earn it.
Yeah, he loves competition. He's a notorious side action guy during practice rounds. He loves the competition if he doesn't get there. But he also embraces all the younger guys, and if they beat him, he can totally accept the fact that he got beat, and he'll root those other guys on. So he's teeing off in about 5 minutes. Jason Day's now tied for the lead at 13 under. Thanks again to Garrett Johnston and to Michael Neff for joining us. Well, that'll do it. Thanks to Will Darkins back in the studio producing. Harold, you're on vacation next week, so we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, I may call in if I can get off the pickleball court.
There you go. For Harold, I'm Jason. Hit them straight.
Did they find my ball?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.